Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, welcome along to an action-packed Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. What a weekend we've got for you. Joining me to look ahead to the St. Ledger Irish Champions Weekend and the ARC Trials over in France are Tom Park and over in Ireland, Big Justy, Justin O'Han. And we've also got Sam Harley from Paddy Power. He's got all the odds. Hopefully a winner or two as well. So like I say, the St. Ledger takes centre stage. But there's some cracking action over in Ireland on Saturday at Leopardstown, Sunday at the Curra Irish Champions Weekend. Slight shame that they do sit on each other. We don't really want a Doncaster clash with this. But the end result, we've got a superb day. We will wallow in it. We'll also, like I say, look ahead to any ARC clues that emerge at Longchamp on Sunday. We'll get all the naps. Right then, let's crack on. The 3:35 at Doncaster on Saturday is the William Hill St. Ledger. And Kew Gardens has headed the market for absolutely ages, but I think he might have been deposed, hasn't he, Sam?
Hiya, Bruce. Yep, so they flip-flopped at the top of the market. So we now have Lottie Dart 7-4, Kew Gardens 9-4, Old Persian 7-1, and DXB and Loxley both 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Parky, what were your thoughts on this until Lottie Dart came in? Has her inclusion in the race changed your attitude?
Not really. I'm fortunate enough. I backed Lottie Dart after Enable won last week, 9-1. I just thought John Gosden probably wouldn't want to be running three, so he'll have been hammering it home to the owners that he'd want to run it in this. Dettori already said that. However, I think there is a horse that is the wrong price in this race, and that is Loxley. He is a really high-class animal. I think the trip will be no problem. I'd be worried a little bit if the ground was quick, but they're expecting a bit of rain today and tomorrow, I think, so that shouldn't pose much of a problem. And, you know, he's high-class. The ARC market, before Lottie Dart and everyone rerouted, Lottie Dart was about 9-1. Loxley was about 14-1, and Kew Gardens was about 33-1. So I have no idea why Loxley is five times the price of Kew Gardens. I think he will probably go off about 5-1 on the day and take the 10-1 now.
Okay, jolly good. Justin, what's your view of this one? How sweet would you be on Aiden with Kew Gardens?
I'd be sweet on Aiden, Bruce, but not necessarily with Kew Gardens. I agree with Tom in one respect, in that there's a horse in this race that's overpriced, but it's not the one he mentioned. It is the Pentagon, who I think has a seriously good chance at a huge price here around 25-1. Obviously, Kew Gardens is Aiden's number one hope. But I was talking to Aiden there one night at Tipperary before the Pentagon ran at York. And I think the Pentagon might have been one of those horses that was under a bit of a cloud amongst the Ballydoyle horses during the summer. He ran very well in the Irish Derby when I actually thought he was ridden to get the trip. But it seems now the opposite is true. They think he stays well. And if you look back at that Voltigeur at York, he came there. I thought he came there to win his race a furlong and a half out, and he just flattened out inside the last. But Aiden said to me that he would definitely improve a hell of a lot for his run in the Voltigeur, and at 25-1, I think he's got a hell of an each-way chance.
Lovely. Let's look back at last October's Racing Post Trophy. The winner was Saxon Warrior, second Roaring Lion, third the Pentagon, fourth Verbal Dexterity. They're all in action this weekend, and Loxley was seventh. So that's a very telling race. As always, Sam Harley, who's your fancy for the ledge?
Yes, I'm going to be unoriginal here and just stick with Lottie Dart. Kew Gardens just not for me. I think his best run was when he was stepped up to a mile and six, but with Lottie Dart receiving the £3 here, she'd be the pick for me. She was given a rating of 115 after her win in York at the listed race, which is only £2 short of Kew Gardens. And I just think if she can step up again from that, it won't take too much to win this. And yeah, it'd be her at 7-4 for me.
Okay, let's look at the other three races from Doncaster that are live on ITV. Starting with the 150, a typically fiendish running of the Portland Handicap, sponsored by William Hill. 5-1 favourite from the Michael Dodds Yard. Who's that, Sam?
Yeah, so it's just worth mentioning we're playing six places at a fifth of the odds here, so an extra place. We have Holmeswood at 5-1 at the top of the market. We have Dakota Gold, 9-1. We've Tis Marvellous, Golden Apollo, both at 10-1, and You Don't Do You at 11-1, and then it's 12-1 bar.
Okay, Justin is sitting out the rest of the GB action because he's had so much Irish stuff to look at, but he's going to have some gems for us later on. So, Sam, we'll stick with you. Who wins the Portland?
Yeah, so obviously it's a wide-open handicap here. I one I like here is Blue de Vega for Robert Cowell. Horses have hit form the last couple of weeks with a 27% strike rate over the last 2 weeks. The last time he ran on good ground off a mark of 93, he won at Ascot, and he's only pound higher for this handicap. And Frankie's been given the ride here, so 12-1 with the six places. He's a good each-way bet for me.
Big old day for Frankie, isn't it? He's riding in the Legend and jumping in the old helicopter and getting over to the to Leopardstown. Who wins the Portland, Tom Park?
I'm going to take on the favourite with his stablemate, Dakota Gold. I think he's been laid out for this. He was second, beaten a neck by Major Jumbo last year, around this time last year at York, off a mark of 97. He now runs off 91. I don't really understand why he's been dropped that much. He's not really been running that badly. And it just looks like they've been planning this. I know D'Souza's on Holmeswood and Connor Beasley's on this, but that wouldn't bother me at all. Beasley rides most of the Dodds horses anyway. I think he's laid out for this, and yeah, he's the one for me. I would give another mention, A Moment of Madness. He's the death of me, really, but he's got a big race in him, and he's kind of in and out, but if he's...
We don't know. We're not interested in these loyal tips. DJ does these every week. Oh, I can't bear to let this one go.
He could be better than his Martin 99, though. He's got a big race in him. I mean, he was second in a conditions race behind a 110 rated horse a few starts ago. He has got a big run in him. Whether they're extra half furlong, I'm not sure whether that'll suit him. But
okay, right, at 2:25, it's the Alan Wood Plumbing and Heating Park Stakes. If I ever move anywhere within the Doncaster area and I spring a leak in my pipes, I will ring Alan Wood because he stumps up generously to sponsor this. And it's a competitive affair. What's the latest betting, Sam?
So we have Mustachery at 11-4. We've Breton Rock and Dubai at 9-2. We've Oh This Is Us at 11-2, and Dutch Connection at 7-1, and then 10-1 bar.
Have you sussed the winner for us, Tom?
Yeah, I think Mustachery is a very good price, actually. Bit unoriginal, but he was beaten by a very good horse in Lord Glitters last time. I mean, he's favourite for a Grade 1 in America this weekend. I think Lord Glitters is even third favourite for the QE2, so that form is rock solid. He never puts in a bad run. Trip and ground and everything should suit. I'm not sure whether the ground's going to be soft enough for Breton Rock and Dutch Connection. I mean, if he puts it all together, he's got a big run in him, but he can't be trusted. I think Mustachery is rock solid, yeah.
Yeah, we're expecting a bit of rain, but not loads. Sam, who's your idea of the winner?
Just with Mustachery, he's stepping back to 7 furlongs for the first time in his career, so he could just find himself rushed off his feet, early doors. Breton Rock's been an incredibly consistent performer over the years, being placed or better in 25 of his 37 starts, but the angle I'm going to take here is on a price difference. So Tamiris for Roger Varian and Andrea Tzini, who sits at 10-1 in the market, double the price of Breton Rock. He's only beaten a neck by him in the Hungerford Stakes. So he's the each way play for me, three places in 900 field.
That's Tamiris. And if I ever move to the Doncaster area and I need industrial supplies, not that I've ever needed an industrial supply in my life, except possibly paracetamol or ibuprofen, I will go to Howcroft because they sponsor the Champagne Stakes, which takes place at 3:00. And what a cracking race this is, isn't it? Well, we've got two darn hot running in the same colours as the Ledger favourite. Dark Vision, who was so impressive last time. Phoenix of Spain. It's a real cracker, this one. Just how short is Too Darn Hot right now, Sam?
So we're actually paying out money back as a free bet on all losers if Too Darn Hot wins this heat, with a max bet of £10. We have him at 1-2 at the top of the market. We've Dark Vision 5-1. Phoenix of Spain 11-2 and 16-1 bar.
And do you think the Fav will oblige, Sammy? 6-1 favourite, I note, with you guys for the guineas.
I'd actually be keen to take him on. I just think, looking at his pedigree, I think next year is going to be his year stepping up in trip. Just even looking back at his two races, sort of halfway down the home straight, you kind of see Frankie trying to wind him up. He seems to take a while to get going. I'm going to take him on with Mark Johnson's called Dark Vision by Dream Ahead. He's been quoted saying he couldn't sleep at night watching back the replay. Now, whether that's a sales pitch to Godolphin.
No, it was exciting, wasn't it? If I had anything to do with that horse, I think I'd have watched that all night as well. It was phenomenal, wasn't it?
So he's been talking about that. So he obviously regards him very highly. And Yeah, I think at 5-1, I'd take on Two Down Hot in this affair, especially with money back if Two Down Hot wins.
Would you do them each way as well? Do you like a little each way sometimes in a small field, or are you all up to win merchant?
Only if there's eight runners.
Okay. Sometimes five runners can offer some value each way, you know? Tom, what are you going to do? Take the favour on or go with him?
I just can't understand why anyone would be backing this horse at 1-2. You've got two horses who, look, we think are very talented. Dark Vision last time at Goodwood was exceptional. It was just unbelievable where he came from and how he won that race. Look, Two Down Hot, he looked very impressive last time. And, yeah, I marked him down as the Derby winner, to be honest, at this stage. However, he's 1-2. We don't know how good Dark Vision is. He's 5-1 against him. He could be an absolute machine. He looked a machine at Goodwood. So,
well, Phoenix of Spain is no slouch.
Oh, absolutely
either.
Not. Absolutely not. But I just think that Dark Vision's got that untaper potential. You know what I mean? He could just be an absolute monster, just like Two Down Hot could be. But one's 1-2, the other one's 5-1. And yeah, I think he's an each way certainty. Dark Vision, but I think you'll beat him. I think.
Okay.
I like
so him. The boys are both taking on Two Down Hot with Dark Vision. It should be an absolute cracker. And I tell you what, Tom, I'm quite excited about some of the 2-year-olds we've seen so far. Obviously, Calix looked really good before he got injured. We've got a couple of cracking juveniles running on Sunday in Ireland, which we'll come to later. It's looking quite good, isn't it?
I think this has been the best season for some while for the 2-year-olds. Every race, even the race today and the Rumble in the Jungle and that, I think it's, they're all exciting colts, and the form's starting to stack up. I think it's going to be exciting. This should be good.
I agree. It bodes very well for next year. Let's quickly whiz over to Chester. There's a couple of races there on ITV. Difficult Affairs. We'll start with the 205, the Reed Josephine Gordon blog at unibet.co.uk/bloghandicap. That's snappy. What's the latest betting, Sam?
So we have Project Blue Book at 10-3 at the top of the market. We have Knight of Glory, 4-1. We have Baydar, 6-1. Always Resolute, 13-2 and 7-1 bar.
Give us the idea of your idea of the winner, Sam.
So I didn't actually get much chance to look through these two races, so I'll just give you a name. So I'd go for Always Resolute for Brian Ellison and Franny Norton at 13-2 each way.
Who would you go for, Tom?
It's a bit unoriginal, but I like Project Blue Book. He was 2-1 last time when he was at Chester when he ran, and he was drawn 6 of 7. He's drawn 2 this time. I mean, he was run right round the outside last time, as you'd sometimes do when you get caught there at Chester. And look, he's dropped £2 in the handicap. He didn't run that badly. He tanked through the race. He looked the winner, and he was flat-footed in the last few furlong and a half. But look, good draw this time. £2 lower in the handicap. As I said, a bit unoriginal, but I think he'll probably win.
Okay, the 240 is the 32 Red Stand Cup. It's over an extended mile and a half. Blakeney Point heads the market, Sam.
Yeah, we have Blakeney Point at 9-4. We have Hochfeld at 7-2. Shailene at 5-1. And Sir Chauvelin, 11-2. And 6-1 bar.
Tom?
I like Sir Chauvelin. Look, the trip's a bit short for him, maybe, but he's an admiral horse. He's in terrific form. And he's got Plum Drawn 1. I think he'll run a big race.
Who's your fancy, Sam?
So I'm going to go for Hochfeld. He was only beaten a neck by Giretto on his last start at Chester in the listed race. And he loves the track, having won there twice and placed on his third start. And just at 7-2, I'd take on the favourite.
Justin, are you still with us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm still awake.
Your big moment comes next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Right, let's turn our attention to the second part of a sensational Saturday doubleheader. It's Irish Champions Weekend. They're racing at Leopardstown on Saturday and the Curragh on Sunday. We will start with the Leopardstown action. And before we look at the races, a really nice promotion from Paddy Power, which is going to reward those unsung heroes, the stable staff. Sam, tell us all about it.
So we're delighted to announce, and it was covered in the media during the week, that as part of sponsoring the race, Paddy's Rewards Club are putting up some extra best turned out prize money. So it's going to be enhanced from the standard €250 to €1,000. And on top of that, the stable staff connected to the winning horse will receive a €5,000 bonus to split amongst the yard. It's a massive step in the right direction in this regard. As you quoted there, there's the sort of unseen heroes in the background. Without them, obviously, racing couldn't go ahead. And there's sort of different areas of the industry starting to make progress on this, just even in the stall this week for the festival. The Healy family kindly put up free meals for the staff at the racetrack, and just makes it that bit easier for them with all the travel that they'd be doing. So we're delighted to announce it, and hopefully we can do it going forward as well.
Good for you, Sam. That's really good news. I'm very impressed, actually, with the standard €250. That puts a few of them over here to shame, doesn't
it,
Tom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Blimey, if I ever get to do a Best Turnout Award in Ireland, I should be looking for a few bribes, I think. okay, well, that's great news. I'm sure they will all look absolutely gleaming. Hopefully, it will be a great day's racing. The weather will stay away. Quickly, Justin, what are you expecting weather-wise this weekend before we look at the actual races themselves?
I think Leopardstown is expected. I think they're expecting maybe a small drop of rain today and dry tomorrow. But Leopardstown drains so well these days that it won't have any effect on the ground. It'll be proper quick flat ground tomorrow, I'd say.
So it's all about the top of the ground horses, isn't it? It's not that long ago, is it, that you were sending that tweet from your back garden? Do you remember? There was about a metre of snow, wasn't there?
Oh, good heavens. I don't think, I never want to see a shovel again as long as I live after those few days.
Right then, the big race on Saturday, 6:35, the Kipco Irish Champions Stakes. Fantastic race. Roaring Lion odds on. What's the latest, Sam?
So we've Roaring Lion odds on at 5-6. We've Saxon Wire 3-1. We've Study of Man 11-2. And we've Verbal Dexterity 14-1 and 16-1 bar.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8 runners. So we've got each way betting. What is the bet, Justin O'Hanlon?
Well, I hate to be old Mr. Curmudgeonly here. Well, what's new, I suppose.
Well, but all you ever are.
Yeah, I know. But I'm a little bit underwhelmed by the two Group 1s tomorrow. A little bit underwhelmed by the card in general, really. The two Group 1s are slightly uncompetitive. You'd certainly like one of them at least to be more competitive, but we do get an opportunity to see some good horses, and I suppose that might make up for it.
That's got us all revved up, hasn't it? Great, thanks for that, Justin.
It should be all about Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior, really. I think Saxon Warrior is probably big enough at 3-1. I'd expect Roaring Lion to probably beat him, but I think it'll probably be more along the lines of their meeting in the Eclipse rather than that York last day, which definitely seems to be Roaring Lion's track. From maybe the short straight in Leopardstown might not suit him quite as well as the big long half mile straight in York. I'd expect him to win, but I think Saxon Warrior will definitely put it up to him. It's different taking on Aidan on home turf than it is him travelling. You're not only taking on Saxon Warrior, you're taking on three other Ballydoyle horses as well.
He has been disappointing though, Justin, hasn't he, Saxon? I mean, he looked to have the world at his feet, didn't he, back in the spring?
Yes, he has, and I thought that was a superb performance in the Guineas, but he may well be one of those horses that was under a cloud during the summer as well. I think that has to be considered. He certainly ran so far below his best at York the last day that, you know, there had to be some sort of reason for it.
And Justin, if this race was taken...
Yeah, much better judged by his second in the Eclipse rather than the fourth at York, I think.
Okay.
That's the sort of...
If this race was taking place with a bit of cut in the ground, would you have given Verbal Dexterity a chance? He ran an amazing race last time because he looked like he was absolutely hammered, and then he came really coming like a train at the end, didn't he? But he just needs cut, doesn't he?
He does. Even if there was cut, I wouldn't think he'd be good enough. Okay, he's rated 115. The French horse is obviously interesting as well, but I thought that when the French Derby he won was hardly vintage, and I think the one that was second beat him the next time, didn't it, at Deauville. But he would have liked a bit of cut in the ground as well, and he would have been impressed with his attitude at Chianti, but the race itself probably falls short of what's expected here, so it looks to be pretty much a two-horse race to me.
And you think Roaring Lion will just edge it, yeah?
Just edge it, yeah.
Okay, Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, so just as you said there, with just edging it, they've met five times in their career, and Roaring Lion's come out on top so far on a score of 3-2. With the three wins being the last three times they've met since they've stepped up and tripped through the middle part of this season. Obviously it looks to be a sort of match bet at the top of the market there, but I think with the each way play, if you have eight runners on the day, I'd go for the French horse. Study of Man, obviously, as Justin said, he won the Prix de Jockey Club, which I think, without being a vintage renewal, there's been a good few from behind him come out and win Group 2s and Group 3s across England and France. I know he had quite a layoff between the Prix de Jockey Club and that race in Deauville, so Pascal Barry's come out publicly and said that he wasn't fully fit for the race and would come on for it a lot. He also had a notable entry in the Prix-Niel this weekend, a Group 3 in France. So if they felt he wasn't up to travelling for the Champion Stakes, they had that easy option. So they obviously are coming over with big hopes, and 11-2, I'd play him each way.
Bit of a is that an official dirty each way, Sam, or are you going to defend yourself there?
I will take a chance on it. Sneak the place.
Yeah, that's pretty sneaky, that one. Tom, who do you like?
Look, I think Roaring Lion on that ground will be tough to beat, but it's similar to what Justin was saying. I think York is probably his track. I think the big long straight there certainly helps him. And I'm going to take him on with Satsumori. I think he clearly wasn't himself in the middle of the season. Ian O'Brien's are running much better now. He was so impressive in the Guineas. You've just got to take that chance that he was suffering from some sort of virus. Look, I think Roaring Lion, he's going to get his ground. I was hoping for a bit more juice, to be honest. But I just think Saxon Warrior, 3-1, I think he's a good bet. Like,
I've got a question for you, Tom. How many Group 1s in Ireland has Aidan O'Brien won this year?
Six.
Justin?
It's not zero, is it?
It's one.
One.
Not many, is it? Lancaster Bomber in the Tattersalls Gold Cup. That's amazing, isn't it? But you know what Aiden's like. He'll come out and absolutely dominate this weekend.
What's interesting, what Aidan O'Brien has always been banging on about this is his Irish champion horse. Since his Derby flop, they've been working back from this. So I just...
Okay.
They clearly... He must be doing something that they must think... I think he could be back. If he comes back to that Guineas run, I mean...
Big if.
Wouldn't it be great to see, though?
Well, it would, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Okay, let's look at the 525. It's the Coolmore Fastnet Rock Matron Stakes, in which the horse of the season so far, Alpha Centauri, is the homecoming queen, making a return to home turf, and she's very short, Sam.
We have her at 2-7 at the top of the market. We have Magical 7-1, Lawrence 8-1, Happily 14-1, and Clemmy 16-1. And then 33-1 bar.
Justin, what's your reading of this race?
Oh, she's a freak. I think she's an absolute certainty. She's the best filly. She's the best miler. She's the best 3-year-old. I think there's no doubt about it. And there's nothing in this race that'll worry her. Actually, did you see the picture there of a couple of weeks ago of her and Sizing John stood next to each other? You wouldn't know which of them was the 3 mile chaser.
I can never tell horses apart. It's the ones with the grey fur. Otherwise, they all look absolutely the same.
There's nothing here that'll trouble her unduly. You wouldn't think.
Justin, will no, you she, applaud? She, she, are you one of these guys who applauds? Will you applaud in the final furlong if she comes home 5 lengths clear? I love people who do that, don't you? They applaud the winner. Will you give her a little round of applause?
I wouldn't normally be an applauder, Bruce. I'd normally be watching it in the press room anyway, and applause is basically banned.
Are you the most cynical one in the press room?
I think Jennings has said this before, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's like David Jennings to tell us, doesn't it? Go on, I dare you to clap. If she's 5 lengths clear with the furlong to go, give her a break into applause. That'd be brilliant. Who's the forecast pick here, Justin?
Possibly Clemmy. I thought there was a little bit of encouragement to be gleaned from her run in the Falmouth the last time, and obviously she came in as the great hope amongst the 3-year-old fillies at the start of the season. It hasn't worked out, but I think she could be forecast material.
Okay, Sam, what do you think will happen here?
So yeah, I think in terms of applauding, I'm going to sit back and watch something special. I hope.
Will you applaud?
I will applaud. I'll be there at Leopardstown, and I hope she goes and does something special. The fillies in behind her there in the market are no slouches either, but I think she has the talent to go and do something really special. She has her favourite trip. She has the conditions and a trainer in flying form, and hopefully we'll see her turn up to the Breeders' Cup with a top chance to represent Ireland.
And who finishes second tomorrow?
I'd probably side with Clemmy. They'll probably try take on Alpha Centauri with Happily and Magical, and Clemmy might just come along and pick up the pieces at 16-1. So maybe betting without, she could be the bet.
Tom, what's your view of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get beyond look beyond Alpha Centauri. She's probably the best miler we've seen since Frankel, I would say. She's exceptional. And I think Carl Burke, and I think they missed a trick with Lawrence. I can't believe they're running her in this against Alpha Centauri when the Irish Champion Stakes is there. Like, I know she clearly didn't see out the trip over 1.4 miles, but I think it's a bit of an overreaction to drop her back to a mile. She was winning Group 1s in France over a mile too. We were talking earlier about how Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior, I mean, the fact that we're considering Saxon Warrior to win the race, Lawrence would be, she would have a squeak in that race.
Definitely.
I think she mile 2 is definitely her trip, so she might give Alpha Centauri a race, but I think she'll probably win by 5 or 6 lengths Alpha Centauri.
Okay, Justin, anything else at Leopardstown we should be backing?
Yeah, there's a couple of very interesting two-year-old races, one of which is the KPMG Champions Juvenile Stakes, which features Mad Moon of Kevin Prendergast, who created such a terrific impression winning a maiden at Leopardstown last month, beat Sydney Opera House, who reopposes tomorrow. But Sydney Opera House went on and won what I thought was a very well-contested maiden at the Curragh subsequently. There's an interesting one up against it, I think, though, a Dermot Weld trained colt called Massaf, an Aga Khan colt, who was absolutely green as grass when running over a mile. I think ran the first mile maiden of the season, actually, at Leopardstown back in June. Won, in spite of its greenness, won by a length. I think Dermot said after the race he was putting it away for some autumn targets, and he's been as good as his word. It's third favourite around 5-1, I think.
Lovely stuff.
Mad Moon at 7-4.
Okay, that's the 4.25. And anything else, Justin, at Leopardstown on Saturday?
Yeah, the 3.20 is a new race. It's a listed fillies race. One of the things that's missing from Leopardstown on Saturday is actually that two-year-old fillies maiden, which used to be one of the best of the season. But Jessica Harrington has a filly here called Tretheus, who was pretty impressive when she won a maiden over a mile at the Curragh last time. Dropping back to 7, probably not ideal. Doesn't have a great draw, but I think she could actually be very good, and I'd expect her to win that.
Lovely stuff. Let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
Tom Park.
Mustachery in the 2.25 at Doncaster.
Justin O'Hanlon.
Well, I'm going to Listowel for the 4.40, which is a 2 mile, 1 furlong handicap chase, and my nap is a horse called Act in Time.
Okay, and will you be giving that a big cheer, Justy, when that if that's leading up?
I'm going to have to be professional in that case, Bruce, I'm afraid.
Yeah, come and tell us why. There's a very big day, isn't there, for you on Saturday? What's happening?
Well, yeah, I'm making my return to the commentary box after about 10 years at Listowel tomorrow. I'm on the commentators panel now, and I'll get the odd meeting here and there. But Listowel tomorrow is my first foray into the commentary box for quite some time.
Fantastic. Good luck with that, Justin. I hope that all goes well. And Sam, what's your nap for Saturday?
My nap's in the 4.25 in Leopardstown. Justin already touched on them. And it's Mad Moon for Kevin Prendergast and Chris Hayes. Connections rate this horse very highly. And what an incredible achievement it would be for the legendary Kevin Prendergast at the age of 86 to have another top-class horse in his hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great stuff. Thank you, chaps. We'll do Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Tom Park, Justin O'Hanlon and Paddy Power, Sam Harley. Looking ahead to day 2 of Irish Champions Weekend. It takes place at the Curragh on Sunday. The big race is the 4.50. It's the Coma Group International Irish St. Ledger. Irish Derby winner La Trobe heads the field. What's the latest betting, Sam?
So we've La Trobe at 9-4 and Flag of Honour 9-4. We've Weekender 7-2, Idaho 9-2, Twilight Payment 10-1 and Cypress Creek 100-1.
Justin, lead on. Who wins this?
Well, it's quite rare these days that the Irish St. Ledger is actually dominated by three-year-olds. So it might actually, our editor over here, Richie Forrestal, doesn't even consider it a classic, but might have to change his mind tomorrow with the three-year-olds dominating. I like Flag of Honour, Bruce. He's won twice over a mile and 6 at the Curragh. I think he's a good, solid, consistent horse. He's has a few pounds to make up officially on La Trobe, but I think he could well do it. His two wins, they weren't spectacular. He beat Giuseppe Garibaldi, who he was going to reoppose tomorrow, and Twilight Payment, who he does reoppose tomorrow. A mile and 6, little bit of ease in the ground. I think he'll suit him well. He's a good, solid stare, and I think he could be a cup horse for the next few years. I think he might just get the better of La Trobe.
Sam, who's your fancy?
I tipped up La Trobe for the Irish Derby, 25-1, and
I
can't abandon him now. I don't think so. I'm going to stick with La Trobe. He was obviously disappointing in York, but he was actually very well fancied. We took a lot of money on him. So he never really got into a rhythm and just faded tamely. And once he was out of the race, he wasn't given a hard time. So that won't have taken much out of him. And I think just could put that down to the track maybe. And just returning to the Curragh where he won the Derby at 9-4, he'd be my pick.
One vote for Flag of Honour, one vote for Latrobe. Tom?
Yeah, I like Latrobe as well. Obviously won the Irish Derby here. And I think he'll definitely improve for the step up and trip. I think 1 mile two was a bit too quick for him last time at York.
Okay, jolly good. Where should we go next? Let's do the 4:15. It's the Goffs Vincent O'Brien National Stakes. What a battle this promises to be. Anthony van Dijk versus Quarto. Can't wait for this one. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
We have Quarto at 5-4 at the top of the market, with Anthony van Dijk joint favourite at 5-4. We have Christmas at 8-1, Landforce 16s, and Highland Fortune 25-1 and 33-1 bar.
Justy, some battle this.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this one, really, Bruce. Anthony van Dijk, he's won three in a row, and you can't really fault him, but he wasn't that flashy the last six, certainly compared to his previous win at Leopardstown when he beat Christmas, who closed the gap significantly on him inside the last half furlong to half a length over middle distances next year. I think Christmas is the one to take out of this. Quarto has been, I suppose, very flashy in its two runs to date. It's a very, very interesting contest. I think Anthony van Dijk might want the ground a little bit quicker than it will be on Sunday. He could be vulnerable, although obviously it's an unknown how Quarto will get on the ground. It wouldn't surprise me if Christmas ran a very big race and chucked the two of them up considerably. But, I don't know.
Okay.
Just on the point of the ground there, Justin, what do you make of them running the 27-runner field, the 5-furlong sprint as the first race? Programming-wise, it's...
See, Justy's all establishment now. Now he's a commentator. He can't criticise anymore.
Just in terms of them tearing up the ground with, obviously, the Group 1 races to come.
Well, I suppose it's a point, but
no, come on, Justin. You've lost your edge now. You've gone native. Now you're on the commentator's roster. You don't want to say anything to upset the apple cart, do you? Normally, be absolutely tearing into it. Go on, Sam. You say what you think.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Quarto, just with Anthony van Dijk. I think he sort of ground out his races, and I just find it hard to know what he's beaten, to be honest. The vibes coming out of the Charlie Appleby Yard are very strong for Quarto. Obviously, he's won his both of his two starts in his latest beating Cape of Good Hope in the Superlative Stakes in substantial fashion, beating him four lengths. And I just think he could be one for next year. And I think he's around 16-1 in the Guineas market, so I wouldn't put people off backing me on that.
Jolly good. Tom, now, Corte's exactly 2 months since he last ran, and since then a lot of kind of water has flown under the two-year-old bridge, hasn't it? So he's kind of become he's fallen out of fashion a little bit, but he's decent, isn't he?
Yeah, it just goes to what we were saying about the two-year-olds being good this year. Yeah, I think he's a monster. I think he'll certainly beat Anthony van Dijk. Anthony van Dijk looked like he wanted 7 miles, not 7 furlongs last time. I'm surprised they're even running him over this trip again, to be honest. I think Corto's a different class. I think he'll win.
Okay, jolly good. Right, the 3:05 is the Derrinstown Stud Flying Five Stakes. Havana Grey is the fav, but from my point of view, the fantastic take cover. 11 years old, I believe it's his last race. I will be cheering him on from a sentimental, if not financial, perspective. What's the betting from Paddy Power, Sam?
We have Havana Grey 2-1 at the top of the market. We've Sioux Nation 10-3. We've Hit the Bid 4-1. Take Cover 6-1. And Different League and Battle of Jericho both 8-1.
Wouldn't it be great if the old Take Cover could win Parkier?
Without a doubt. It would be a great. I didn't know this was his last run, actually.
I think they said it was, yeah. I may be wrong, Brilliant. But I'm pretty sure after last run, they said that we'll send him over to Ireland and that will be that.
Not many horses retire at that age in that good a form, do they?
No.
Running in a Group 1 at the Curragh, that's amazing. Yeah, it would be. I think there's a Carl Burt must be rubbing his hands thinking about potentially winning a Group 1 with Havana Grey here. It doesn't look a very strong race. He ran... I think he was probably on the right bit of ground in the Nunthorpe, so he was maybe flattered by how good that run looked, because he ran the whole race on his own, basically. But look, these smaller fields, I think, suit him better. He can control the pace from the front. And he won at the Curragh earlier in the season where he beat Mabs Cross. I think it'd be tough to beat here. I think it's a good opportunity for him.
Justin, who's your fancy?
I think this is a terrible race. I think it really is a terrible race. Last year it's been a Group One, and I really thought that more English trainers would take up the opportunity. Are normally there for the taking. Havana Gray is a course and distance winner. How he'll get on with a bit of ease in the ground, I'm not entirely sure. I think he probably will handle it, won't he? But, I mean, there isn't a Group One horse among these, and he's probably the best of them. But, you know, it really is a shame that it's such a poor contest.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it's yet another example of English trainers being so slow to recognise potential opportunities in Ireland. I just don't know why it keeps happening.
Normally at sprint level, they're not slow to pick up the opportunities here.
Yeah.
Because they are so good.
Yeah.
And I'm just astonished that the first time this race has been a Group One that they've abandoned it, if you like.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was never any chance of any of the real top-notch sprinters going for it,
There's not many Group 1 opportunities for 5 furlong sprinters, really. So you would think that they would jump on the fact. I mean, I'm surprised. I thought they might send Mabs Cross over it. I mean, she does need a strong pace to run out, and they probably knew they weren't going to get it here, but look, it's a good opportunity.
That's been
for
a bit fussy, isn't it? Just send her out and do her best. Okay, so you're going for Havana Gray, aren't you, Parky?
Yeah.
Justin, who are you going for?
I'll have Anna Gray by process of elimination, and that's about it.
Okay, and Sam, who's your fancy?
So, yeah, I agree with the guys. It looks a very poor race, having upgraded up to a Group 1. I'd say I'll probably go with the angle of seeing Alpha Delfini win the Nunthorpe, and I'm going to go with Take Cover at 6-1 to bring a shock and win a Group 1.
That would be a really lovely result. I hope you're right, Sam. Justin, anything else not Leopards, on the Curragh on Sunday that we should be backing?
Well, the Blandford Stakes looks a proper race to me. Azira, who ran a cracker when third in the Yorkshire Oaks behind Sea of Class last time, is going to take the beating there. But up against Beautiful Morning, a couple of Jessica Harrington's Beautiful Morning, and I'm So Fancy's been a real... She's been a standing disher on the Curragh this year. She's won a group two and a Group 3. And she'll give her plenty to think about. But probably Azira in the Blandford Stakes. There's a couple of handicaps late on. I think one of the handicaps is a cracking good contest which is a group two or a group three in all but name. And having said that, I haven't actually forgotten which one it is. typically. But overall, the card of the Curragh on Sunday is the far more competitive of the 2 days, which is a change. But those are the races that stand out to me. The Blandfords is one of the standout races on the day, and I think it's Zira.
And Justin,
be the better of the Curragh.
If we're only having one bet on Sunday, who would it be?
I would go for Azira in the Blandford Stakes.
In the 2:35. Mm. Sam, yeah, anything else for you?
Yeah, so I think it's worth quickly discussing the Moyglare. So I'll just quickly quote you some prices for that.
That's the 3:40.
The Moyglare Stud Stakes, the 3:40. We have Zagatova at 3-1, with Main Edition joint favourite at 3-1. We have Skitter Scatter at 9-2, and Just Wonderful 5-1, and 8-1 bar. And the one I like here is Zagatova. I mentioned her the last time I was on the podcast. She won really impressively in Cork, but was reported lame post-race, which was interesting as they then turned her out 2 weeks later at the Curragh. She finished third behind Skitter Scatter, who again reopposes here. But I think she wasn't given the hardest to rise. I think it was more of an introductory. I think she'd obviously had a bit of box rest. The form of her first start has worked out really well with Antonia De Vega coming second to her that day, and who's won at Group 3 level since. So I think she could be the class one in the field and could be a big name in the classic fields next year. So it'd be Zagatova 3-1 for me.
Okay, normally when we watch the ARC trials, we get carried away by the winners and think we've seen three ARC winners in one day. But I'm not sure this year, Parky, is necessarily that strong, is it? I'm looking through and I mean, there may be a filly, one of those late emerging three-year-old fillies that comes in and takes advantage of a weight allowance at a big price on the big day. But you kind of can't really convince yourself you're going to see the ARC winner in Paris on Sunday, can you?
Don't think so.
What are you looking out for?
Well, it's more of a sentimental one. I'm looking forward to seeing Worth Waiting run for David Lanigan in the Vermai. She's improving at rapid rate of knots. She was impressive, I think, at Deauville last time. But she won her maiden at Redcar quite a few starts ago now. And it would just be great for a little track like Redcar to have a Group 1 winner winning their maiden there. It's a good track, puts on good prize.
Is that the first track you ever went to?
Probably was, actually.
Your local track growing up,
definitely,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was my first ever meeting at Redcar, yeah.
Okay, surely good. Right, that is it, I think. Weekend plans, Parky, what are you up to?
I'm in here all weekend, unfortunately.
No, what do you mean, unfortunately? It's a pleasure, isn't it?
Well, it's good. To be fair, on weekends like this, it's great. It's plenty going on, but yeah.
Kitty's made some flapjacks. All good. Justin, you've got your big day at Listowel on Saturday, haven't you? Good luck with that. Will the old butterflies be churning away there?
Well, I did a warm-up race there on Tuesday, and hopefully that blew off some of the cobwebs anyway. So, you know.
Have you got big fields?
I think the biggest field is 18, I think.
That's a bit of a test, isn't it?
I prefer big fields to small fields. Small fields, you have to think of stuff to say.
Oh, fair enough. Are you a kind of, are you a Mark Johnson at the finish, or do you keep it nice and calm?
I'm a bit of a Hoylesy, I suppose, at the finish.
Oh, yeah?
I certainly won't be saying that anything has got this shot to bits, or what's Johnson's famous one?
Taking dead aim.
Dead aim. That's it.
He loves that, doesn't he? No. And will you be doing the old as a nod to Desi? Will you be saying that anything's putting in a tremendous late bid? I love that. I miss the tremendous late bids.
Tremendous late bid, I think, is the official pronunciation of it. Or if one falls, lost one there.
Yeah, exactly.
I have my own vocab.
Good. Okay. I shall tune in. I shall wish you well. Well done, Justin. And Sam, what are you up to this weekend?
See, I'm going to both days of Champions Weekend at Leopardstown and the Kerr.
What will you wear? Tweed or do you go casual?
No, I'll be in a suit. Supporting Mad Moon tomorrow, so be involved in that. And yeah, I just encourage any student listeners in Ireland to attend the Leopardstown Day, as they're giving all students free entry with a valid student card.
Fantastic.
Another great incentive.
That's brilliant. I hope it goes well, lads. Thank you very much indeed. Maddie and the gang are back on Monday. We've got golf and football next week. We've also got an Arrows podcast. I don't remember us doing a darts one yet, but we're looking ahead to the Champions League of Darts. Is there no end to the podcasts? If you can't join us for any of those, we're back next Friday looking ahead to next weekend. Do join us. Thank you very much indeed for watching or listening.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.